Transmitting to you from Old Heart Radio.
Prepare to have your bones chilled and your hairs raised. It's the Whack Arnold's Brothers Podcast.
Welcome home.
Hike. So you were
okay. Jesus Christ.
Football. So you were just mentioning that you actually watched the first five episodes drop of the Goosebumps series. How'd you feel about it overall so far?
I thought it was pretty solid.
It's not like
how the original was, where every episode is like based on a book. It's like an overarching story. And one thing that I like is like I enjoyed the recent movies, but it was like way too comical. Honestly, I'm not sure how I felt about Jack Black and those. Like, I just felt like it was way too comical. And this kind of brings it back to a more creepy, dark tone, which is awesome. So it's like an overarching story, but every episode has an element of Goosebumps in it. So the first episode has the camera from Say Cheese and Die. Okay, second episode has the mask from The Haunted Mask, et cetera, et cetera. So that's really cool. And I've enjoyed it a lot so far. I'm just excited to see how the rest of the season pans out and see what other references there are, what other elements there are. So I think it's a success so far.
Okay, hell yeah. I'll have to check it out. I'm just finally finishing up the Ahsoka series. So.
Oh man, I still need to watch. Are all the episodes out now?
Yeah, that's why I started watching it finally. I didn't pay for Disney Plus for a while, and then it went on sale for like $1.99 for like 3 months or something. And I was like, I'm gonna do it. And it kind of starts off a little slow, and then all of a sudden you just realize you're just so wrapped up in it. And then like I'm on the last episode, I think, and I was just like. I wanted to just like watch it last night, but I was like, no, I'm too sleepy. Like, I want to pay attention, you know. It's like that level. You just all of a sudden like, oh shit.
Now that it's all the way done, I'm definitely going to give it a watch because I've been looking forward to that.
Yeah, like there's some types of shows that I'm totally cool with like watching, you know, episodes as they come out for sure. But like that one, I was definitely like. Because it's one, it's just, you know, it's one big storyline or whatever, you know, it's just like, I would like to watch it, like, you know, pretty much at my pace, I suppose.
That makes sense. Yeah, I've been watching the Gen V, which is like the Boys spin-off, like a set in the Boys universe, It's really fucking good, too.
I'll have to pick that up at some point then. I've also just been watching a lot of hockey because the NHL season started. So
interesting.
Yep. It's always a good time watching the rinks.
Never got into hockey. I'm more of a football guy.
What I tell people.
Football, basketball. Never got into hockey.
I also have the basketball season marked in my calendar, which has it started or does it start?
No, preseason started.
Yeah. But I was like, I'm going to try and watch some basketball this year. Nice. I haven't watched it in a really long time. Mainly because I got really bored with it. It was just sort of like, I don't know.
Well, anyway. The season's so fucking long. So that's part of it.
Yeah, that's a good point. However, we are here to talk about a horror movie, of course.
Yeah.
And today's delectable pick is... Maximum Overdrive. Notorious. Yeah. The Notorious Maximum Overdrive.
Yeah.
This I love this movie. I've always loved this movie, and I will always love this movie. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I know even Stephen King himself has like disowned it and called it like a heaping bag of shit. He was high.
I was gonna say, didn't he admit to just being like doing cocaine and making this movie?
Yeah, that's when he was in like his heavy blow stage. So in some interviews, he says he doesn't even remember parts of it. But this movie's so fucking entertaining. It's one of my biggest guilty pleasures. I have no qualms about, you know, professing how much I enjoy this movie. It's just so much fun. You know, Emilio Estevez is obviously great in it. Pat Hingle is great as Bubba Hendershot. Oh, yeah. We have a Giancarlo Esposito cameo. Like, there's so many wacky, you know, deaths. There's some good blood. Like, I don't know. It's just so much fun.
It's definitely an original concept. It's wild, and everybody you could tell everybody really wanted to dig into their roles.
Which is
great. It's a silly movie, but you're absolutely right. There are some like pretty like just absolute. There's absolute fun to be had with this one.
There's also the voice of Lisa Simpson. So.
Oh my God, that's where I recognized. I was like, who is this fucking lady?
Yeah, she is so annoying as Connie, but.
Oh my God, dude.
It's iconic, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imitate her voice, but she's so annoying in this movie.
Oh my God, dude.
Curtis! Curtis!
Yeah, oh my God.
Oh yeah, the soundtrack too absolutely slaps. Oh
dude, AC/DC just ripping all over the soundtrack. Dude, yeah. When Those About to Rock kick on, that's like, I love that song. When Those About to Rock kicks on, I was like, oh fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's going down.
It's one of my favorite songs of theirs too.
I love that song. It's a pump up song for sure. Yeah. I listen to that song like in the morning before I'm like, as I'm heading to work, I'm like, yeah, for those about to rock, man.
Absolutely.
All right. But okay. So Maximum Overdrive picks up with like, you know, a shot of the earth. And there's this little paragraph that comes off. I have it paused on my screen. I'm going to read it here.
Please do.
It sets up, you know, the movie. It says, on June 19th, 1987, at 9:47 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Earth passed into the extraordinarily diffuse tail of Rhea M, a rogue comet. According to astronomical calculations, the planet would remain in the tail of the comet for the next 8 days, 5 hours, 29 minutes, and 23 seconds.
Very specific. Very specific. Yeah, I love a rogue comet.
Yeah, and then it shows the planet of Earth getting like surrounded by this green glowing mist. Oh, man. And, you know,
classic.
So completely sets up the movie there. You jump right into a scene set in Wilmington, North Carolina, where this is such a fucking, I just loved this opening. So like, you know, like it shows this front, the bank front, and there's like people walking into the First Bank of Wilmington, and the reader board that like starts, you know, like displaying the time starts like switching and just starts saying fuck you,
fuck you,
fuck you to everybody. And then you get your Stephen King cameo.
Yeah, right out the gate, like they're quick with it on this one,
dude. You know, he's like, he like, I don't even know what his character name is or whatever, but he like, he plays his character who's like walking up to the ATM outside the bank, and he like the ATM just starts displaying the word asshole to him. And he has like sunglasses, you know, sunglass covers on his glasses, and he like lifts up the sunglass covers He's like, "Hey, sugar buns," or whatever. He's like, "Come on over here. This machine's calling me,
Call me an asshole. Yeah.
It's so good, dude. And then boom, your first AC/DC song starts ripping up. Oh my God, man.
I don't know what was better. I don't know. Obviously, I feel like more people are going to say the latter, but what do you think is better? Stephen, like all the, you know, different Stephen King cameos in his movies, or all of the like Stan Lee cameos that were in Marvel movies?
I mean, that's a good question. I'll, no disrespect to Mr. King, but I will always go with Stan Lee on that one. I loved seeing him pop up in those movies. Like, it was always so much fun, and you're always just like waiting for it. Like, what's he going to be fucking doing in this one?
Yeah, I guess that's true. And they're always pretty comical.
Yeah. And to me, you know, like having never had an opportunity to like meet the guy at a con or anything like that, I'll take any like mini moment with that legend, dude. Stan Lee was just like what an extraordinary human. But Stephen King does have some solid ones. I mean, this one was probably one of my favorites after watching this, just because of the way he like yells at his wife. Hey, come on. It's so stupid. What about you though? Which one are you siding with?
I think I'm more biased towards King, just because, you know, I grew up on King, and I have a, you know, when my mom passed away, I was reading it. So I don't know. Stephen King just kind of played a crucial role in like initial trauma to that situation. So I don't know. I've always just had like a, yeah. So I'm biased towards King. I mean, obviously.
What's your favorite? What's your favorite?
Phew, that's difficult.
I
can't answer that. There's too many.
Fair enough.
I think it'd be easier to answer movie than it would novel, but there's too many. Like, I'm a big fan of, obviously, it's a classic. I'm a big fan of Salem's Lot. I really liked Under the Dome. I can't pick one. It's too hard.
Fair.
But back to the movie, because this next scene is just like really sets the tone for everything to come, and we just get absolute fucking mayhem, where we get this first sign of like these machines, you know, operating on their own, because these two gentlemen are playing cards. They're toll booth. They're like a bridge operator, and they don't realize that the machine has kicked on by itself, causing the bridge to raise, and just, like I said, dude,
just destruction and carnage ensues.
Yeah.
Cars crashing into each other, the truck that falls in between them, or in between, like, you know, in between the bridge as it splits. Yeah,
its tires like fucking spin off. The best one is the guy that does like a front somersault through a windshield.
Yeah, dude. or the slowed down watermelon coming to crash through the lady's like window.
Yeah,
just ridiculous. But yeah. So you're right. It's the first sign of like the machines kind of taking life. And then that's right. You get introduced to the most iconic vehicle of them all.
Oh yeah.
The Happy Toys Green Goblin Semi, man. Jeebus.
Yeah, I was always real curious, like,
why gobs, dude? Why the Green Goblin of all things? Was it really that popular of a...
I mean, I think it's one of the Spider-Man's best villains, but that's a good question. And I wonder if they, like, alternate just enough to where... I don't know, I was always curious about that. Like, how that connection. Because when I was a kid and first saw this movie, that's instantly what I thought. Oh, there's Green Goblin. Like, I wonder if there was any like rights dispute over that or what the situation was. But it is definitely, and you, like you said, the most iconic vehicle, and instantly catches your eye. Yeah, it's an interesting choice too for a trucker, you know. That's the vehicle they're driving around, is the splat Green Goblin right on the fucking front. Like, that's pretty badass.
Oh, exactly, dude. But who's driving the truck?
a gentleman by the name of Handy. He doesn't really, he doesn't have much importance to the movie. He's only in a couple scenes, you know. But yeah, a gentleman by the name of Handy pulls up, and you know, we're here at the Dixie Boy truck stop, which is the main setting for this movie. And a gentleman by the name of Duncan, a gas attendant, goes over to fill up the tank, and he is, although he, you know, he meets a much worse fate later, he's the first one in this setting to kind of have something terrible happen to him.
Yeah, exactly. But so Handy like tells him to fill up the tank, and he goes inside to get some coffee. Mm-hmm. And what's the waitress's name? She's like fiddling with the radio.
Wanda June.
Wanda June. Wanda June says something really funny. She's like messing with the radio. Handy tries to order a coffee from her, and she's like, "This was just playing fine just a second ago. Now I can't get a pea turkey on it." No.
I was like, yeah, I forget what she says, but he makes some like sexual innuendo joke afterwards. I forgot.
This is crazed. But then you get introduced to Emilio Estevez, aka Bill, who's like cracking eggs on the flat top, and he gets called into Bubba's office. But I love when Bubba calls him. He's like, you know, he's like, "You come in here," or whatever. And Emilio just turns around. He's like, "I got eggs on."
Yeah. I got eggs on.
Great. I got eggs on. Yeah, Bubba don't give a shit. So,
no, he's a complete fucking piece of shit. We also get a, you know, get a glimpse of this is what I'm talking about, a young Giancarlo Esposito, way, 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 way before, you know, he garners any fame for his role in Breaking Bad. But he just plays this role, this gentleman that's in like a arcade room, and he notices that all of the machines are going off, including a cigarette machine that starts just, you know, pumping out packs of cigarettes. And he starts, you know, loading up, just like filling like his pants and his jacket full of cigarettes.
Oh, yeah, dude. The coin machine starts popping off. Get some of them. And like, yeah, like all the video games are just wigging, and like the pinball machine was playing by itself and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, it was crazy. Like, what? Well, I don't know. I would also just be like, well, fuck it, I'm taking this shit.
I'm taking these cigarettes. Yeah, for sure, no doubt.
But then you kind of like follow up with
Duncan,
who's setting at the, you know, filling up the handy or happy toys, and the gas pump just stops by itself, and so he like, you know. Like, he's like looking at it, you know, trying to figure out what's going on. And
why
then,
would you look inside of it?
And then just gas just shoots all over his fucking face, diesel nonetheless, right into his eyes, causing him to obviously like fall to the ground in pain. And
I love the music in this movie when anything like this happens. It's like that it's fucking great. It's a terrible, you know, recreation of what it is, but it does justice in the movie. Because yeah, but why would you, just one of those things in a movie where it just makes you fucking shake your head, like,
hey man,
of all things, I'm gonna peer right into this gas nozzle.
Yeah. Dude, I have no idea, man. The guy's just, you know what? It's because he wasn't thinking. And on the job, y'all, you know, you shouldn't be slacking off like that. Duncan, you fucking idiot. He deserved it. Yeah. They should have just left him there.
Yeah, this leaves.
I mean,
this...
for all Bubba gives a shit, that's pretty much what he did.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So what, I don't even know like, what the other mechanics got.
Steve.
Steve, like, helps Duncan. Granted, he takes him to their, like, I don't know, office area or whatever. Break room, maybe. Not the office. And you see, like, Duncan resting up against like all these like nudie photos. I saw some bush on that wall.
Yeah, just the wall full of, I remember when I was growing
erotica.
Up when I was growing up in a rondo, directly across the street from Jeff and Tammy's house was this, he doesn't live there anymore, but this like retired older guy that was always had his garage door open because he was working on his car, and he just had a wall full of fucking porn, you know, and go over and talk to him and just be like, nice wall, bud. You know? It's kind of weird. Like I can understand looking at porn, but the need to plaster it over your wall is kind of weird.
It's a particular person's wallpaper for sure.
But back to what you were saying, though, because yeah, he radios Bubba.
Bubba, and Bubba basically just like, well, flush his fucking eyes out. I'm talking to somebody.
Yeah,
dude, Bubba's such a dick.
You get the feeling that he doesn't give a fuck about any of his employees, and that you see that throughout the rest of the movie.
Oh, absolutely. And in this scene, you know, you follow up right with him, and he's talking to Bill, and he basically tells Bill that he wants him to work. Basically, how's Bill put it? So you want me to work 9 hours and only clock in for 8? Mm-hmm. And Bubba's like, that's exactly what I want you to fucking do, because you're on parole and your ass is mine.
Yeah, he like blackmails him, essentially. You know what I mean? It's fucked up.
Yeah, and then he basically just kicks him out of the office, tells him to get back to work. And as he puts like his time card back, as Bill puts his time card back, he notices how many other employees have this red star to indicate that they're on parole.
Yeah, it's probably like half of them.
Yeah, dude.
You know?
And even, you know, he kind of comments on it. He's like, this got a fucking racket going here, you know? It's
absolutely.
It's crazy. Absolutely,
yeah, it's pretty low. Yeah. Pretty low.
But
yeah, and then we get Wanda June was having to cook in Bill's place, and she doesn't seem to be doing a very good job.
No, dude, she's I'll tell you what, that ain't Perkins quality. She's massacring that goddamn shit, dude. Like, that's like, I was like, what are you doing to those fucking eggs, man?
It's like burnt eggs. It was not a pleasant sight.
It was bad, dude. It was bad. But
you
know, she's doing it. She's trying to do her thing, and this little like turkey carver or whatever, like electronic turkey carver, is like sitting on the counter next to the flat top, and it like just out of nowhere just snags her arm and cuts her, causing her to bleed all over the place, and like, and she not, you know, knocks to the ground. Bill's like running up and, you know, trying to help her, but then, you know, still has a mind of its own. It's like buzzing on the ground. Yeah. And it goes and like carves into her foot a little bit. Jesus, dude.
Be fucked.
And this leads Bill to his first hero moment of the day. Like grabs a nearby hammer that was just hanging out on top of the refrigerator, and first thing he thinks of is just bashing that fucking thing to bits.
Yeah, I probably would have done the same thing, you know. But yeah, he quickly jumps in, takes care of the electric knife, and then also, you know, takes care of Wanda June. He whips out a bandana and wraps it around her arm to, you know, stop the bleeding and attend to the wound. So, you know, thank God Bill was there.
Hey, tell you what, Bill's a real American hero, okay?
Yeah, he is.
But then, you know, everybody's like crowded around this. One of the dickhead customers makes a comment to Wanda June as her arm's fucking bleeding out, you know, and he's like, what, the knife bite you, honey?
Yeah, what a fucking asshole.
Yeah, dude, it's like, go fuck yourself, man. Like, but then it takes you right back to that video game room, which is an awesome room. I forgot to mention earlier.
Absolutely.
And this time you see that he's all like the video player. He doesn't, what's it? I don't know. I don't even think he has a name.
I think that's what he's credited as, his video player. Yeah. He doesn't have a name.
I was like, okay. So his pockets are all stuffed to the brims, and he's like, you know, fitting in every last one little thing he's, you know, can get his, he's getting his paws on. Mm-hmm. And then one of the video games like almost like catches his eye and like puts him in like a little bit of like a trance. He's like, you know, he's staring at it, and then just zap, dude, he gets fucking electrocuted as like all these games and stuff start just kind of like blowing themselves up on the way. It was like, it's quite intense.
Yeah, it's certainly one way to die. The game's name is Star Castle. Never heard of it. I'm not sure if it's real or if it was, you know, just made for the movie, but it seems like you said the imagery on the screen hypnotizes him, leading him to touch it, and kerzap, he gets just fucking electrocuted to death. You know, this leads Bill to come over, and Bubba's like, what? You know, what's going on now? You know? Like, so it's very clear.
I feel like Bubba might be a good like wrestling announcer, you know?
Oh, totally. Like, or a wrestling manager.
Yeah, manager for sure.
But yeah, Bill seems to notice, you know, that there's kind of some peculiar things going on around here. But before we really get to see any more of that, we jump to another fucking awesome sequence. So we go to this baseball game, and this is where we get introduced to another, you know, somewhat main character of the movie. It's a child by the name of Deke, and we learn that he is Duncan's son. And Deke's game just got done winning a Little League baseball game. Mm-hmm. So the coach, hey, you know, I'm gonna get some sodas for the, you know, yeah, for the win.
Sodas for the boys. Let's.
Yeah. So he runs over to the soda machine, and in one of my favorite sequences in the movie, the machine just like, literally, like a, you know, they're on a baseball field. It's kind of ironic, but the soda machine, with like the velocity of a pitching machine, just like blasts these soda cans out. He gets crotched twice, and the first time it happens, naturally, the kids all laugh. But then they kind of realize pretty quickly how dire of a situation this is, because he falls to his knees. The third soda can comes hurling out fucking directly right into the face, killing him, you know, leading the kids to run off in fright. And, you know, Deke wants to check on the well-being of his coach, so he's pretty smart right out the gate. He puts on his pitcher's mask, gets low to the floor, comes over to fend off the blasts. Sure as shit, his coach is dead. But in one of the most gnarliest scenes of the movie, this little kid is like, another little kid is riding off on his bicycle.
Yeah.
And fucking goes ass over tea kettle, and boom, a fucking out of nowhere, like literally out of nowhere, a steamroller comes rolling onto the baseball field, absolutely obliterating this kid, rolls right over him, crushes him to death. It was like, holy shit.
It was fucking wild, because like you said, it was literally just like out of nowhere. You didn't see this thing at all early, like earlier. It just comes blasting through the fucking outfield fence and just like rolls right over that dude.
Oh yeah. Oh
man, it was so good.
Fucking incredible.
And this like also kind of chases Deke a little bit, and so he hauls Dick out of there.
Yeah, he's able to get out of there scot-free, and we'll follow up with him in a little bit.
But then you get introduced to a couple more characters.
Yep.
One of them's Connie. But
Nope. Brett. We get introduced to Brett, the hitchhiker, and a gentleman by the name of Camp Lohman, who is a Bible salesman.
Oh, okay. Well, they have a tense relationship, it seems like, in the car. As this dude is a fucking like ham of a character.
Yeah.
He's like sipping out of a fucking flask, like being like, "All right, sweetie, where are you headed?" You know, he keeps trying to put his hand on her leg.
Yeah, he's a fucking pig, dude.
Yeah, and she's like fucking with the radio, trying to listen to this news report that comes on. And eventually she gets somewhere where it says, like, you know, you can kind of hear it saying, you know, anybody on a major highway needs to get off the highway. Like, you know, as like it's a warning of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
And this dude, like, obviously he doesn't give three shits about it. And he like tries to make a move again. She threatens to like cut off his hand. Basically, she's like, next time you try to do that, like, you'll be wiping your ass with a hook or something.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
But like, you know, she tries to tell him to get off the fucking highway. He doesn't listen. So she just commandeers the fucking steering wheel and pulls right over, right into the fucking truck stop.
Yep, right into the Dixie Boy. Yeah. So. Yeah, yeah, and I love how, like, she gets out of the car and he jumps out and basically accosts her for, you know, like, I gave you this ride and, you know, you're going to talk like this and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, after and I showed you my, it was after I gave you a ride in my brand new car.
My brand new car, yeah.
Fuck off, dude.
And while this is happening, they're, you know, they're not really paying attention to the surroundings. And we get like a inside shot of the Green Goblin truck that kicks on and unsuccessfully this time, but tries to run them over. And they're able to, you know, get out of the way before they get crushed by this thing. And then the truck, you know, just drives up and parks next to the side of the Dixie Boy and, you know, sort of sits there waiting for its next move, essentially.
One of my favorite shots after that whole sequence of it almost running them over is like when Joe or whatever his name is, the other mechanic, I guess, he picks up the broken gas pump and it just has this like really, you know, intense look, and he just blows a big fucking bubble out of some bubble gum he's chewing.
Yeah, like Joe, he's not really, he doesn't play like a big role, but he's, you know, he's definitely supposed to be somewhat of a comic relief character.
Yeah.
You know, and then shows its age here with the next line, because Loman, what in the dickens is going on here?
Yeah.
That's a damn good question, Bill says. Because this leads them to kind of question, like, where's Handy? And, you know, well, I wasn't in the truck. I got the keys right here. And so they're kind of like,
his line, he was like, whoever must have driven that truck must have been a hardwired champion.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, it's a good question. Like, what the fuck? You know?
So everybody's just like, yeah, exactly. Everybody's just like, what happened then? And this is when you jump to the newlyweds.
Yep.
Yeah. Yep.
Then we get introduced to Kurt and Connie.
Exactly. And my God, I do not like either of them. They're so annoying. But Connie in particular, Connie's just she's
brutal.
Just too much. and you know, everything's kind of fine for a little bit until they pull in to get some gas.
Yeah, they stop at a different gas station.
Yeah, yeah. Like, right away they see like a bloodied arm.
Yeah, there's just a bloody arm sticking out from the side of the building. I'd get the fuck out of there. You know, Kurt decides to get out and investigate, I guess, trying to be a, you know, a good Samaritan type situation, but you know, it doesn't work out well, because while he's investigating around, you know, he peers inside. He looks up at a clock that's covered in blood, and it's just like rapidly spinning. Out of fucking nowhere, you hear a truck kick on, and this white pickup truck just like drives around the building. And I guess, you know, a natural reaction is Kurt's like, hey, you know, come here, like, help. You know, obviously not realizing that there's nobody in that vehicle.
Yeah.
And the truck makes a beeline and tries to fucking mow down Kurt. He's able to get out of the way last second, causing the truck to sort of crash, you know, underneath part of like an awning to the entrance. So, yeah, he barely escaped getting turned into hamburger meat. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, he's fucking lucky. It's fucking lucky. He did wind up a little damaged after the encounter, but nothing too wild, because he still like walks away with a big old shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. But yeah, so, you know, they take off, and again, it's like, now it's like everything is untrustworthy, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's video games or fucking trucks or whatever.
Right, right.
But yeah, they tear out, and then you kind of go back to the the fucking the other truck stop. My God,
the Dixie Boy.
And there's like more trucks there now. Like,
yeah.
It's like it's becoming like a hub.
Slowly but surely, yes. There's like two more trucks there now, you know.
Yeah. And like still no, it's like still nobody has any idea what the fuck is going on, like fully, you know.
Right.
Bubba's just smoking cigars and just fucking like being a dick. Like just it's like you can just tell he's just got sleaziness all over him every scene he's in. Making Joe light his cigar in the scene where they're like looking at all the video games and shit. Mm-hmm. But you follow Bill outside as he goes to like investigate, and he kind of slowly ends up going up to the Green Goblin truck. Mm-hmm. He hears like a noise. He gets into the cab and he hears a noise in the back, and like, really, you know, good move here. He does like that move where he puts one of his keys in between his fingers. Like, you know, I'm gonna pop whatever the fuck is back there. Turns out it was like just like a toy. Making noise.
A Green Goblin Jack in the Box. It was cool as hell.
Which just makes the mystery continue, I suppose.
Yeah, because he expected somebody to be, you know, hiding back there, obviously. And there wasn't. So, yeah, you're kind of like, I guess, though, you know, we don't know how long. I guess you're led to believe that probably right after that conversation with Handy, he went out to check. But you don't know. So, you know, if there was someone, let's say, driving it, they probably would have had a chance to run away by now. But either way, yeah, he wanted to go check. This leads him to go investigate the back of the truck. And while he does, we see the truck go to kick on. But luckily Brett comes over to have a conversation with him, but it's sort of a tense moment where you're like, are they like, is Emilio about to get fucking, you know, turned to roadkill here?
Yeah, dude, flattened. But yeah, no, just a quick little,
you're kind of cute. Almost,
yeah. Jesus, dude.
They're cute.
Their little love stories. Just, it's
ridiculous.
So wild to me. So like, you know, he doesn't get flattened. You do kind of like follow up with Deke there.
I love this whole sequence
where he's like riding through town. Things are obviously like off. The sprinklers are like kicking.
That's
on.
One way to put it.
You know, he's just like, what the fuck is going on? Everywhere he goes, there's like dead bodies. There's like crashed cars. Like,
oh yeah,
you know. It's
one of my favorites is the dead girl hanging out of the window that was choked by her hair dryer.
Yeah, dude. You know, and even he's just like, the more he sees, he's just like, God.
Well, like, that would be frightening because you're like, what? You know,
the fuck is happening?
Because like I said, I do think it's an interesting plot, and lately there has been a lot more movies about like, what if these things that were here to help us, or these things that we created, like turned against us? Because, you know, you're looking around, you're seeing the everyday appliances and everything, things that we use in our day-to-day life are fucking killing these people. Like, it would be a very, especially as a kid, it would be very concerning. But, you know, he's able to outsmart he seems to understand quickly that something is afoot here, because he hears an ice cream truck. He hides in a bush to avoid it, and he also is able to pedal away from a bloody lawnmower that kicks on and tries to chase him down.
Fuck, dude, that lawnmower, like it was immediately menacing. Like, you know, you kind of see that shot of him walking in the background. It's like a closer up shot of that, and it's just bloodied already, so you know it's already been doing some damage, dude.
Well, that's what I like too, is where it doesn't need to show all these kills, but you can use your imagination as to like, damn, dude, someone got fucking their face or head ran over by, you know what I mean? Like, I like that sometimes.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Like the carnage is enough to like really let you as a viewer kind of fill in the gap there.
Absolutely.
But yeah, like you said, like obviously he like fucking hauls Dick out of there. And then you jump back to the old Dixie boy and like what that Bible salesman's like,
yeah.
trying to sell like Wanda June and some random ass fucking guy.
Have like, some class, you know?
No shame like, on this motherfucker, dude.
Like really? Like at a time like this, like really? You're trying to sell somebody? Yeah, it's fucking hilarious.
He's probably like my least favorite character.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
You know, Bubba's kind of like funny in his dickishness sometimes, but anyway, so yeah, he's like trying to sell him up. You also, and isn't this where like Duncan also gets finally like rises from the mm-hmm. bed and like he's like, I gotta get to my boy.
Yeah, which is fair.
Sure.
You know, yeah.
But they also point out that he can barely fucking see. They have that yep. shot of his eyes all like red and fucked up. Like,
yeah, he should probably wait a little bit longer, but
maybe like
then
maybe
again,
just ask if somebody could you know do go it with for you. You? Or like go with you.
Yeah, because long story short, doesn't really pan out that well. He doesn't make it very far, let's say. Yeah, he just gets absolutely fucking creamed by this massive red garbage truck. Just creamed. Oh,
dude. Yeah, there's like that, you know, great classic kind of shot, like right before it happens. He like throws his arm up. Like, ah! it cuts to like a wider shot, just like his body just getting whoop, whoop,
and, like, oh, it's like, fucking
that
blood awesome
splatter that happens to the front of the truck. Oh, it's so good, dude.
Yeah, that would be a good scene to slow mo, you know. Yeah, it's fantastic. He gets absolutely obliterated.
Yeah.
And what's even better than that is that right after, you know, killing Duncan, the truck drives on. And what this is a funny scene, too, because like we said, Loman's trying to sell these Bibles. You know, you see through the window the truck go and smash his truck, and he instantly turns from, like, you know, this Bible salesman to this foul mouth, you know, angry person. Real quick, before I said this. We talked about how Bubba's a fucking piece of shit, right? Mm-hmm. In this Duncan scene, before Duncan walks away, Bubba looks at him and says, if you leave without punching out, you'll never have to punch out again. Like, he has no remorse for the situation. This guy that just got blasted in the face with diesel and that this guy's kid is missing, and that's what he says to him, is basically, if you go do this, you're fucking fired. Like, wow. 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 I was just forgot about that. Like, that is, dude. Yeah. But that's America. Good, because that's one of our favorite things is building up these unlikable characters and just waiting for them to die.
Yeah. But yeah, like, I love it, dude. Loman's car gets just destroyed. And he's out there yelling at the trucks, like, you sons of bitches, I won't get you for this. Like, all this shit, you know?
Yeah, dude. You cocksucker son of a bitch.
Oh, my God. I love it. Yeah. One, it's just like, I mean, it's just so much funnier because you just know there's nobody in there. There's like, it's just like, it's just a truck that he's calling, you know, a low down scumbag.
Yeah, because he's in the parking lot yelling at this truck.
Bill tries to help him, man.
Yeah. Yeah, to no avail.
Yo, no. The Green Goblin truck, like, hits reverse and starts chasing Loman down and gives him the boot right out of the fucking parking lot.
Oh, it's great. It's great. He gets sent, like, flying, like, 15 fucking feet. It's a beautiful shot. Like, straight into this nearby ditch, and you're just like, holy shit.
Yeah, dude. And then to make insult to injury, the truck then drives over his big old like holy Bible briefcase that or suitcase mm-hmm. or whatever they stored all of his goods in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's just crazed.
Yeah, it was a good little sequence. you know.
I do like how the trucks, because of this violence, are starting to get more bloodied up a little bit, so they're starting to be even more menacing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Because yeah, they, you know, off of this, Bubba tries using the radio to reach people and is unsuccessful. You know, Handy and Steve carry Duncan's body in and, you know, carry it to the basement.
Yeah.
Brett changes clothes because, you know, she mentioned how Loman had been touching her and he just died and she's disgusted. So she changes clothes. And then we get this great shot outside, like all the trucks that are there, plus all of the trucks that were parked in overnight parking. Any truck that's there kicks on, and all the trucks now very menacingly circle and just start circling, continuously driving and circle around the Dixie Boys. You're like, okay, you know, the stakes are starting to get raised here.
Dude, that would be, I mean, that really would be like quite intimidating. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you've watched two people die already, and now these huge trucks are just like in, like, have you closed in?
Yeah.
Like, oh my God, dude.
It's almost like they're toying with you. You know what I mean? Because, like, yeah, it'd just be a weird, I don't know.
It'd well, and that was kind of the shocking thing to me is like how much almost like, not just did these machines come alive, but they like really, like, had this like human menacing manner where it was like, totally. You know, and you see it even later on in the movie when there's like some attempts at like communication, even you're just like, what the fuck is like, are these all of a sudden intelligent beings?
Yeah, it's a good question. Really, you know, is
like, that was what like kept tripping me out. I was like, whoa, these like are sentient trucks now. Like,
yeah, it's not just a truck driving itself on its own. It's like it has a mind of its own. Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, then you know, yeah, it's like, I don't know. Just that really got me. I was like, whoa, what the heck? Wild.
Yeah, it's a nice touch.
Yeah.
God. But now we follow back up with Kurt and Connie. And they're driving down the road and they see on the other side that, on the other side of the road and heading in the opposite direction is just like a convoy of trucks. And at this point, they realize that something's up because at that scene where Kurt almost gets ran over, like when he gets up, he looks into the truck and notices that nobody's in there. But while they're driving out of, like, once again, kind of like an out of nowhere type situation, like out of nowhere, this semi truck just like barrels onto the highway off from the side of the road. You know, leading to a tense chase scene where the truck is obviously, you know, trying to ram them off the side of the road and trying to kill them, you know, and this would be fucking frightening. Obviously, this massive piece of machinery and you're just in this little, you know, rinky dink fucking car, you know, essentially grandma's station wagon.
And it does, it bumps them a few times, man, like almost like pushing them off. It's yeah, it'd be intense. Jesus. But her voice, like as she's like yelling random things throughout all this, is so hard, like, because she's always like, Curtis!
Curtis! Yeah. Oh my God, it drives me up the wall. Yeah.
Absolutely.
She could be an alarm clock and you would never fucking sleep in. Let's put it that way.
No. How does Curtis?
Yeah, they outsmarted it. It's pretty good.
Outsmart this sucker. So he pushes, like he goes on like an exit. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember exactly how it happens, but he like, you know, fake jukes out the fucking truck and the truck just goes flying off the side of this hill. And, you know, as it crashes, just kablooey.
Yeah.
We have a car explosion.
Yeah.
It somehow was on fire as it's like first
going play. Down the hill.
Like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. They, oh, you know, they outsmart it and then they get a look on as it fucking, you know, kabam. It was pretty good. Pretty good. Pretty good. They outsmarted it.
Oh my god, but then she just
Curtis, what's going on?
Yeah, because like,
just stop yelling.
For real, you're not helping the situation.
Oh my god.
But where they stopped, they kind of look to their side and they see a giant billboard for, you know, Dixie Boy, this many miles, and Kurt decides, you know, let's go there and let's call the police. So
yeah,
that's what leads them to the Dixie Boy. And they do. The next thing we know, they pull up, but they kind of see the situation that's going on. You know, these trucks are circling. Kurt, you know, deduces that, oh, there's this, you know, gap here. The next time that, you know, this sequence of trucks drives by, I'm going to shoot through the gap. He tries, and although they live, you know, they do, he like almost makes it through, but one of the trucks clips him, sending the car fucking spinning and landing upside down. And he's able to get out pretty easily, but Connie is, you know, stuck in there by her seatbelt. She's screaming her fucking head off. You want to push mute, you know?
Dude, it's yeah, that was it. Like, there's so many times I was just like, I just want to mute this right now. Like, I just want to, like, yeah. But yeah, like, I just thought it was so funny how he's just like, all of a sudden, like I'm a renegade. I'm just gonna gun it and run it. And he just like, and he does, and then he still gets fucking clipped. I was like, jackass. But
we get one of the most, I'll let you talk about it, but we get one of the most ridiculous fucking things in this movie after they're able to pry Connie free. What happens?
So, you know, they're like running back to the Dixie Boy, and the trucks are starting to come after him, man. They're going to get him. And Bubba, Bubba just out of nowhere, cigar in mouth, just has a bazooka in hand, and he's just like, kablooey, dude. He blows up one of the fucking trucks, and then kaboom, he blows up a fucking second truck, and just casual as shit, like, hands the bazooka off, and fucking Joe is like his little ammo boy or whatever, and just like goes back inside. Like,
well, the craziest part is that he fucking shoots the rocket, and Bill, Kurt, Connie, and Derek all have to like instantly hit, like, he fires it like straight. Yeah, fucking
they have to hit the dirt, dude.
Like, yeah, you're like,
crazy.
Where the fuck did he get a rocket launcher at? Like, it is just so mind baffling. You know what I mean? You're like, what? Like, out of all the things, I did not expect that. So it was comical.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. So yeah, I loved it though.
They get a little revenge, you know, they blow up these two trucks, they celebrate. This leads to Brett and Bill kind of having a little conversation on their own. And we get a little backstory. We learn that Brett was hitchhiking down to Florida. And then in kind of like an emotional scene, she starts crying. She admits that she's scared, and this leads Bill to, you know, hug her and console her. So you don't get much character development or much, you know, of that, but it is interesting that they decided to put in like this little bit of, cause she, it also shows her like looking at a picture. I don't know if it's like her parents or her grandparents or what it was, but it was clearly probably some family member that she's going to see or that she just lost. So at least you get a little bit of, you know, although it is kind of random and unnecessary and not followed up on, you get a little bit of character development.
Yeah, he's very polite, you know.
Yeah,
he walks over and he's like, you know, you mind if I put my arm around you?
Yeah, if I put my, oh, because she has a straight razor. He's like, if I put my arm around you, are you going to use that on me? Good question.
I mean, yeah, it is a good question. Then you kind of have like a quick Deke moment. You know, he's on his way to the Dixie Boy. That's illustrated. He sees the blown up truck, Curtis Endeavor. And then you kind of jump. What else does he see?
She's a fucking jet in the sky.
The airplane? Yeah.
I'm surprised we don't get more of this, but he sees, you know, a jet in the sky, and maybe it is a plane, I forget. It looked more like a military type, like, but anyway, he sees, and he goes and hides in the bush until it, you know, flies by, and then he comes back out, hops on his bike, and continues on his journey. So like I said, he's pretty smart, man. Like, he's, you know, he's got this end game in mind, but he is being cautious about his surroundings, so it's pretty good for a kid.
Yeah, but what's not good is the next scene. So Bill decides to go question Joe while he's using the facilities.
Yeah.
Joe's having some real BMs, man. He's just he's like,
yeah. All over, I wonder what he scene, ate. Dude. He must have had some Wanda June eggs.
Ooh, goddamn, dude. You know it. And Bill's like asking him basically about like where the fuck a bazooka came from. Like, is there other like weaponry? Joe eventually relents because, you know, he's just like, I just want to shit in peace, basically.
It seems like. Yeah, everything. He's got everything, he says. Yeah.
And then he jumped down to the fucking bunker room with all the goddamn like weaponry. And there is a shitload of weaponry in there.
It's like a goddamn armory down there. It's like, holy shit.
It's, yeah. They also, I think that's where Duncan's body is. Yep. You know, they've unfortunately verified that, yes, Duncan is dead. And then Bubba, like, just appears out of nowhere, like, being like, what you fucking messing around here for?
Yeah. All that
shit, dude. I mean, really, like, they should have. I don't know. I mean, maybe it would be a little bit of a waste to just immediately start trying to blast these trucks. I mean, you don't really know how much damage you're going to do.
True.
Unless you have more bazookas, but, or more
I love that. Missiles. I love the term bazooka.
Just, so do I. That's why I keep using it. I know it's like an RPG, but bazooka just sounds so much more fun.
Bazooka, yeah. Yeah. But yeah, Bubba continues to be a fucking asshole in this scene because he, you know, for no reason at all, tells Brett about, you know, him being a criminal. He threatens Bill and he tells Bill that when this is over, your ass is grass. So
yeah, dude, I don't know, man. I mean, anybody who uses the phrase your ass is grass, they've got to mean it. Okay.
I remember a phrase. I remember during the height of the Attitude Era in wrestling, I remember X-Pac from D-Generation X would say that every now and then to someone, your ass is grass and I'm gonna smoke it. Yeah, ridiculous.
And I'm gonna smoke it. Jesus Christ.
But we get another kind of touching scene off this where Bill, you know, explains to Brett, you know, what led to him getting in legal trouble, and she is just like, I don't care, you know what I mean? Like, it's not a big deal to me, so that's good.
Yeah, she's just like, it's cool. Yeah, and then you kind of follow up with Deke right off that, and he's you know, he's like on the other side of the road from the Dixie Boy.
Yeah,
obviously he sees those trucks swirling around. He tries to go to this drain pipe, but it's like, you know, there's somebody put a grate over it, so he can't really pull it off and crawl over.
Yeah, it's kind of a quick scene.
Yeah, but then yeah, sundown happens, and all of a sudden,
Jesus Christ,
Bill and Brett have been like bucking.
Yeah,
dude, they've been bucking down, man. Bucking.
She has one of my favorite fucking lines in the movie right here, because thankfully, you know, it just shows them post-coitus, so we don't have like a ridiculous, dude, unnecessary sex scene.
No, we needed an Emilio Estevez sex scene in this movie.
No, I'm good. They're in bed, wherever, like a bed in this place, and again, they're like in the room with like porno all over the wall.
So hey, you know, you gotta rev your engine somehow.
Yeah, it's true.
Prime yourself, and then
yeah. She tells him, she says, "You sure make love like a hero."
Oh my god, dude. Yeah, boy. Yeah, I want somebody to say that to me sometime.
You should make love like
a hero.
Yeah, that would definitely be like an ego boost. You know what I mean?
I mean, yeah, in a way. I was just also sort of like, huh, like, What is that exactly? Like, it was such a fucking funny line, man. I was like, oh my God.
Yeah, you she also.
Love like a hero.
It was great. It was great. She also seems to have this, like, knowledge of the situation because now it's nighttime. They sort of see, like, the green, you know, trail of the comet in the sky.
Yeah.
She talks about how they've been in the tail for 12 hours now and that they just need to stay alive for the next 7 days.
7 days.
This leads Bill to talk about, you know, this island called Haven that is 6 miles off the coast. You know, they can take a sailboat and this island, you know, no motor vehicles are allowed. So yeah.
None whatsoever. No motor vehicles are allowed.
It's just hilarious. Like,
wow,
it's
that's
like,
fucking
really
convenient.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No shit, huh? Like, really? Yeah,
I know this. Okay. I know this island that will be really safe. It's called Haven.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, you're like, it's basically foreshadowing in a sense. But then we follow up with some more of the goings-ons of, you know, the group. Joey tries to put some tunes on the jukebox, but it very quickly short circuits.
Yeah.
One of the unnamed drivers, the whole world is going tits up, he says.
Oh my God, dude. But then I love this. This is a Wanda June freakout scene, yeah. Also, though, right? Like, because
yeah.
One of the mechanics, like, tries to put them, like, some sort of move on her or something like that. She shoves him off. And then she, like, freaks out. Runs mm-hmm. outside and just starts screaming at the trucks, "We made you! You can't do this! We made you!"
Yeah, it is very
cracking the fuck up, dude.
I was like, what purple is that gonna do? You know?
We made you.
Yeah, it's so wild.
Oh, God, dude.
Yeah, she also sort of similar to earlier, like she almost gets run down herself, but yet again, there's Bill to fucking save the day and whisk her back in.
I can be your hero, baby.
Yeah.
Everybody's just at the trucks keep circling, and everybody just is just like, drinking, having what food they can, just trying to wait it out, really.
Yeah, because at this point too, the power and the lights go off.
Yeah, that's right.
And the trucks start to honk their horns, so it's almost like, you know, the situation is just getting worse now. Like, there's no power. Like, these trucks are fucking toying with us. You know, it would definitely be one of those situations where it's almost like they're trying to drive you crazy, essentially, because you're isolated in this spot. Now there's no power, you know? It's pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they're really incrementally step up their intimidation tactics.
Yes,
you know what
that's
I mean?
A good...
And it's
absolutely
crazy. Yeah, because that's one of those signs, you know, it's like, Jesus, dude, these things are kind of smart. Like, what the fuck? Again, like, everybody's just kind of fucking, you know, doing what they can to sort of stay sane, it seems mm-hmm. like. Brett has that, like, has a moment where she's, you know, like, just wait till tomorrow, the world will be fine again or whatever. And yeah, you're like, you fucking hope, but. Mm-hmm. But that's right. Then Loman, yep. And they start hearing Loman, like, shouting from the ditch, like he's still fucking alive, man.
Absolutely wild. Yeah, that he's still alive. Dude. He's just unconscious this whole time. Yeah.
Yeah. It was crazy. He's like shouting for help. Nobody really wants to go help him except for, I think Bill probably.
Yeah.
You know,
Kurt seems kind of gung. He's like, I want to get in on this hero business.
Dude. He sees it getting, Bill's getting action out of it. So he's like, hey, I'm going to step up too.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny. Like
step
you said,
up
like,
so I can buck down.
He like rapidly turns from this like meek, you know, guy to all, you know, trying to drive his car. Trying to drive his car through like all these trucks. And then now he's like, wants to go on like a Rambo recon mission. You know what I mean, dude.
At one point, like you see him with like he's like strapped with an assault rifle, man. Like this kid is here to fucking play.
Yeah, because their plan is to sneak past the trucks. There's a shower room nearby, so they're gonna skitter off to the shower room, and they're gonna use a sewer entrance in the shower room to go through, you know, a sewer system to come out on the other side to be able to rescue Loman. And that's exactly what they do, long story short. But it'd be fucking disgusting. Like, they're literally like crawling through human waste.
Yeah, dude, it was gross, man. Like it like they really, you know, some, I feel like some movies when you watch it, like they have people crawling in the sewers, they don't really make like a big deal out of the fact that you're crawling around in fucking sewage.
Yeah, you know? And especially when Bill's character like gets like accidentally splashes fucking shit water in his face, like,
yeah,
no thank you.
Oh dude, it made me vomit, man. Like in your face, in your eyes, like,
yeah.
And Curtis is in the back just kind of like laughing at him.
I forget what he says. I think he says something like, how does it taste or something like that. It's like,
bitch, you're fucking next, man. But also Deke is still out there crawling around.
Correct.
You know, you're having these cut shots of him moving around trying to get closer to the Dixie boy. And so yeah, even though there's that Rambo-esque style mission to go save Loman, who, like, Deke is the first one to stumble upon him.
Yeah, and he looks worse for wear. Like, he has like a layer of mud on him. Like, he almost looks like a zombie, but it's, you know, he's layered in mud. He doesn't seem to be, you know, because Deke goes up and he's like, hey, mister, you know, mister. And he kind of sneaks in close to kind of hear his heartbeat out of fucking nowhere. Yeah. Wham! You know, he jumps up. Help me! You know, help me! Drag me! Drag me! And obviously, this leads Deke to fucking freak out.
Yeah, so, and Deke makes a good point. He's like, "I can't. You're too heavy."
Yeah, no shit. You're my fucking kid. But like you said, this recon mission to go try to rescue him turns into them hearing Deke screaming, and it turns into them trying to save Deke. And when they stumble across Deke, you know, they realize that Loman is, in fact, dead. So,
yeah.
They tried.
Yeah. I mean, they tried. But, you know, all this commotion's made the trucks aware. And so one of them comes busting through and tries to, like, fucking, like, run them down. And they just, in the nick of time, squeeze right back into that sewage pipe.
Oh, shit. Like, literally. Because as the last one sneaks in, the truck, like, bashes into, you know, the concrete structure surrounding. So yeah, it was like narrowly avoid getting fucking turned into cream corn. So yeah, they have to climb back through the tunnel of shit. And they make it back safely, and we get another douche Bubba moment. Where, oh my
god, dude. Somebody should have socked Bubba after this moment, dude.
Yeah, I know Brett slaps him, but one of the guys should have fucking knocked him, cold cocked him.
Yeah, dude, just knock a fucking tooth out at least. Because yeah, dude, like Deke doesn't even like, you know, get a second really before Bubba just is like, yeah, your old man's dead. He got ran over by one of them big boys out there. And
Jesus Christ.
And Deke is just in disbelief. He, you know, like asks for some he tries to, like, somebody verifies it for him. And his, like, I'll give that kid some credit. His, like, devastated face in this scene was good.
It was good.
But yeah, yeah, man, fuck Bubba, dude. Like, that, they should just shove his ass outside. Let one of the trucks run him down.
Such a callous way to be like, yeah, your dad's fucking dead, dude. You know, like, it was fucked up. And Bill has to be the one that, like, it's true, you know, and obviously Deke starts freaking out, and Bill, you know, comforts him and holds him and lets him, you know, scream. And like I said, Brett does slap him, but one of the other guys should have knocked him the fuck out. So, yeah. But yeah, now it's seems to be the next morning now.
Yeah, everybody's kind of sleep in different places. Deke's just fucking blowing. He's like up. He's blowing bubbles. But you know, down the old dusty trail comes.
Oh, Jesus.
This very, it's like not really intimidating until you realize what it is. Mm-hmm. It looks like a part of a car that was just lopped, like the top, the whole top of a car that was just lopped off. But as it gets closer into view, this vehicle comes moving up and you realize it has a gun like strapped onto a pole on top of it. And where is it headed, man?
Yeah, it's a platform truck with a mounted machine gun. And it's headed to the Dixie Boy, but not only that, right next to it is a bulldozer. So,
yeah, dude.
You know, like we said, like the stakes just keep getting raised higher and higher. And like you mentioned, Deke is the only one awake. He's trying to find a moment to, you know, be a kid in all this with the playing with bubbles. He sees them approaching, so he runs back to wake up Bill, but it's the sound of the bulldozer that awakens the rest of the group as it comes up and starts pushing aside like part of one of the destroyed trucks. But further than that, you know, finally Bubba gets fucked with because the bulldozer pulls up right behind Bubba's car and proceeds to smash into it and push the car into the Dixie Boy.
Yeah, dude. Just like, just straight through the fucking building there. It was cool.
How does he react? Because it's pretty good.
Yeah, so Bubba basically is just like, he's like, you want war? And he goes and like gets his like bazooka and shoots blows up the fucking bulldozer shoots at it. And then like in this like moment where, you know, he's all like, I did it, you know, I fucking got it back, he's like chuckling and shit, the mounted gun turns and then just starts unloading into the restaurant. Like, obviously nailing Bubba, taking out like a handful of fucking customers that were like littered in there, just destroying, you know, equipment and like the building, you know, like it was
fantastic.
It was a good scene.
Yeah, it takes out a couple of the unnamed, you know, patrons, and including some really good squib work on one of them that gets like, like shot like, you know, like 8 times in the stomach. But what's crazy about this is like, obviously this is Bubba and he's a very prideful person. So this thing just destroyed your car, so I'm going to destroy it. But don't you think any normal human being would have looked out and said, oh, wow, there's a truck with a mounted machine gun on it, I should probably destroy that first.
Yeah, dude,
stupidity.
Like, that's what I mean. Like, I was like Bubba just like, he doesn't really help any situation.
No.
In this movie. It's like, you're just like, God, you piece of shit. And so that's why when he gets blasted, you're just like, yeah, finally.
About time. About time. Because, yeah, he indirectly caused, you know, other people to die.
For real.
And potentially everybody, because everybody has to, you know, fucking jump down and, you know, get out of the way. And then we get another great Wanda June fucking freak out scene, because we forgot to mention in the scene where everybody's waking up, you see Bubba walk out and like put his belt back on, and Wanda June like walks out right behind him, like adjusting her shirt, like as if they just got done, you know, fucking. So she,
of all the people in that situation that Wanda June wants to buck with, it's Bubba.
Well, job security. Maybe a raise. It's disgusting. But she gets up and she has another fucking freak out. She picks up the fucking bazooka. She runs outside and has another one of her monologues. We made you. No, she goes, sons of bitches, we made you. Don't you understand? You can't do this. We made you. And the fucking platform truck blasts her to fucking bits, but as she's dying, you know, she's able to fire off a rocket that does fly to the side and does take out another truck. So she's able to, you know, take down another truck as she dies. But how fucking stupid can you be?
Dude, you just watched this thing hose down a bunch of people. You're just going to go run out there?
Pretty illogical.
But I will say, like, her freak out moments are probably some of my, like, the funniest scenes to me.
Oh, like, it's fantastic.
She's just, you can't do this.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but then, like, you know.
I love this. Yeah.
I don't know how this happened, but the vehicles all start, like, honking their horns. Or is it just the one vehicle?
It's the platform truck.
It's the platform truck.
It's like an army vehicle.
Yeah, so it's, like, honking its horn. And Deke, they're all like, you know, like, what is happening right now? And Deke recognizes that's Morse code.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, he just recently got, a badge and whatever, child scouting agency that, or agency.
Jesus, the Boy Scout?
Yes, thank you.
It's convenient. Yeah.
I don't know why I couldn't think of Boy Scouts there for a second. But yeah, so he you know, it starts like trying to get the, you know, figure out what the message is. And it turns out that they want the humans to
pump them full of gas or they're going to die. Yeah, dude, it's great. It's fantastic. It really is. I love it. I think it's
so absurd. It's like, I mean, like, in a way, kind of. I mean, you knew it was going to be inevitable that these things were going to run out of fuel. But, like, the fact that they were, like, you know, found a way to communicate with the humans to be like, fill us up now.
Well, it's just great, too, because it's these, you know, trucks that humans use on a daily basis for their job. You know, they use these things to get things done. Like, we wouldn't be able to do a lot of things or survive without these vehicles, and these vehicles, like, literally essentially flip the tables and are, like, enslaving these people. Like, you're gonna work for us now, you know what I mean? Like, you're gonna fucking go out, you're gonna pump our gas or else, you know. And so,
well, and that's what, like, they make it seem, you know, they definitely, like, make it seem like in, like, this following kind of, like, sequence where they're filling up trucks is, like, you know, they're really putting these people to, like, to work, like you said.
Absolutely.
You know, like as the scene kind of goes on, it's almost like the characters are getting, like, tired, you know, they're getting worn down.
It's like all day.
Yeah. Which is kind of, I mean, it's kind of an interesting dynamic now that I think about it, you know?
Yeah, it really is.
But eventually, I mean, fuck, dude. Like, eventually they do run out of gas. Like, they don't have, you know, an endless supply, but my God, does it seem like they fill up a lot of trucks.
It's like, there's a great shot where it goes out to the highway and you just see trucks lined up for what's maybe miles. Like, they're literally called in all of the nearby trucks, and it even gets to a point where they run out of gas and Bill's like, that's it, we're done. And this Mack truck full of gas pulls up and, like, bullies him into filling back up the reservoir so they can fill up even more trucks. You're like,
yeah, dude, shit. It's wild, man. Like, they had this all planned. Like, it's crazy. And at this point, like, what's also wild is that they're just, like, straight talking to the trucks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, they're, like, talking and getting these, like, forms of response, you know?
Yeah, it, like, is interesting.
But yeah, like you said, that fuel truck, like, keeps, like, nudging Bill closer and closer to, like, where the tank is to refill it. And yeah, dude, at first I thought this was it. I was like, is Bill making his last stand here? And, like, this is going to be it? Like, you know, but yeah, I don't know. It's just, it is, like, an interesting dynamic, the sentience, you know, of these things now. But as Bill's, like, going to, like, fill up t- take like the big ass hose from the truck to like put it, you know, fill up the underground tank for the fuel station. This is like one of the only other times you see Handy in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah, for
he
real.
He just like appears out of nowhere and he's like, hey man, I got you. I'll finish this up. Like you fucking, because Bill is just like he looks like shit. He's like about to fall on his face. He's so fucking tired. Because
you see, like, it's like over 100 degrees. You know, they've been out there all day. You know, naturally, yeah, anybody would probably be fucking exhausted.
Yeah. And as like Bill's like, Brett's helping Bill into like the place. This is like another mention of the comet. Like very, very few times have like you heard, like I think maybe like just like three times, maybe four times, have you heard somebody actually trying to connect that dot so far in the movie where they're like, I think it might have something to do with the fucking comet.
Right. But he has some far out you know, theories.
Oh, like he thinks it's aliens and shit.
Yeah. He talks about how the comet is a broom and that he's like, suggest a race of aliens might be looking for a place to live and suggest they use the machines to destroy humans and sweep them up. So basically what he's deduced and what he thinks is that, you know, an alien race is doing this to, you know, kill off humanity so aliens can repopulate Earth. Crazy theory.
I'm going to chalk that one up to heat exhaustion.
Yes.
Because this dude is so wild. He's like, interstellar house cleaners.
Ridiculous.
Oh my god.
But shortly after this, you know, Bill finds a way to turn the tables, and we're, you know, inching closer to the climax of the movie.
Yeah.
And it's pretty smart.
It's a smooth move, man.
Yeah. So yeah, what like, does he do?
Well, because he like goes out there. I don't even know the other character. He kind of like walks up to.
I don't think he had a name. I don't think he had a name.
You know, another customer. Bill like walks up and like pretends like we're talking, and he goes up like right close to the army jeep with the gun, like so close that he's able to just sort of like casually pull out this fucking grenade and drop it into the fucking vehicle, causing the gun to just start spinning around and shooting as him and this other jabron start running off. And
he
just
spun it.
Oh, that's right. He does. He's like,
smart.
Yeah, big old explosion as he destroys this vehicle that's been holding them hostage. It was a good move, man. It was a good move.
It was.
There's also some like residual, artillery blowing up and stuff. But
yeah, it's great.
Yeah, it was. It was a good move. And this causes them to like, I don't know who's in the sewer originally, but like you see like right as the sequence is about to like go off, there's like also somebody in that drain pipe that was grated off that you saw with Deke earlier. Mm-hmm. And like, it looks like somebody's like working on getting that open.
Yeah.
And they do, because at nightfall happens and you see that everybody has crawled through the drain pipe. They're on the other side of the road and the trucks just start going to fucking work on the Dixie Boy, like smashing into it, just barreling through every bit of it. There's even like a truck that looks like it has like liquid nitrogen in the tank or something.
No, yeah. All these vehicles, you know, finally realizing that these humans are there and they're not going along with their plan anymore.
Yeah.
That's when they finally decide to level the place, like you said, leading to a tanker truck full of nitrogen to fucking explode, blowing everything to smithereens and destroying the Dixie Boy like maybe three to five minutes after everybody, you know, snuck out. So
dude, it was fucking wild, man. And like, yeah, like there's like that bulldozer just crushing the car at one point, just mm-hmm. going back and forth over it, like mm-hmm. oh man, like they really like they just like they tore it up, man, knocking
it
over
was
the
great
whole, oh it's so good. It was such I mean, and what I gotta be honest, what fun was that fucking shot, like that whole sequence to capture, you know, when filming it. I bet like,
true,
you know, because the drivers were just demolishing a place, like that had to have been just
a blast.
Yeah. The survivors are all ammoed up and they're like, we gotta make a run for it now. And so they start hauling out.
They start making their way towards
that thing got blown the fuck up to smithereens, man. Like, anyway, but they start making their way towards
the marina. Yeah, and it's about an hour away. And as a viewer, we also see that the Green Goblin truck is also headed in that direction, and they end up, you know, taking a rest, let's say, at a diner that they deduce is about a half hour from the marina. And in this kind of funny scene, while they're there, there's like a burger drive-through, and the burger drive-through speaker starts, humans are here, humans are here, you know, trying to alert these machines. And I forget what Deke's line is, but Deke, total badass moment, you know, has a fucking semi-automatic, or maybe it was an automatic, and just, you know, shuts the machine up. It was pretty great.
Yeah, dude, it was so funny. It was so good. Yeah, Deke, like, of all of them, he's just the one that's just like, I'm sick of this shit. But yeah, he's like, he said something like, oh yeah, it's just like, he's like, that's what it was. He's like, this is for my dad, you loudmouth son of a bitch.
That's right. Yeah, that would have felt good.
He just hosed it. But then right afterwards, this is, you know, and this is like, I think the moment where, you know, it's like, he reminds you he's still a fucking kid. It's because he immediately, like, he hoses that thing, and then he turns to Brett, and he's just like, I don't want this anymore. And he, like puts the gun aside, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then, of course, we forgot to mention earlier when he was going through the neighborhood, you saw this ice cream truck roaming around.
Right.
But right in this scene, they hear like something coming down the way, and it's that fucking ice cream truck.
Yeah.
And Curtis like hops out like all like gung fucking ho, and he's just like queues up to start shooting this thing. Brett hops up next to him, and they just unload and cause the truck to not only like crash and flip into the air, but explode.
Yeah.
Oh, it was good, dude.
I wonder how much money's worth of ice cream they destroyed.
God damn, dude. I hope that wasn't the ice cream man's truck, at least.
Oh my god. Wow. It's like, came out like 7 years beforehand, but you never know. That's a good, could be a good, you know, universe link right there.
Maybe, yeah, exactly. So needless to say, they eventually end up making their way to the marina.
Yep.
While there, I don't know, nameless guy number 28 in the movie, Brad. Okay.
He actually has a name, believe
this
it or not.
Has a name.
So what, Brad, a stupid fucking idiot.
Dude. He sees like this dead woman hanging out like of her car window, or like head and arm, and notices this gigantic diamond ring on her. And he goes up and he takes it. He loots the body, and while he's doing that, the Green Goblin truck is right behind him. And basically, as he's like walking away admiring his new precious, he the Green Goblin truck just comes barreling up and just smushes him. Oh, so good, dude. Like, those shots in this movie were all so good.
Oh, absolutely.
And this causes Bill to then bust out the fucking bazooka.
It makes one more appearance.
Yeah, and he blows the hell out of that Green Goblin, dude.
He goes, adios, motherfucker. Boom. Yeah, it was fucking great.
Oh, it was so ridiculous, dude. And yeah, it was, I mean, fucking epic way to go out, if you ask me. But then they end up cutting a line on a boat, and they like all go out to sea. You assume that they're going to Haven, the island where no motor vehicles are allowed.
They're on a sailboat. There's no machinery, so they're just trying to get themselves to a safe spot.
Yeah.
And then we get another absolutely fucking hilariously ridiculous text scroll.
Oh my god, this one made me laugh so hard. Like, it, yeah. Because like, it was just the phrasing at the very end. I'm trying to capture it. Like, oh yeah, there it is. So it's like 2 days after a large UFO was destroyed in space by a Russian weather satellite
yeah.
Which happened to be equipped with a laser cannon and class four nuclear missiles. Okay. And it says, approximately 6 days later, the Earth passed beyond the tail of Rhea M, exactly as predicted. And then this line is just so dumb. The survivors of the Dixie Boy are still survivors.
I love it. I love it. It's so great.
That line had me cracking up so goddamn hard. Because I was just, the survivors of the Dixie Boy are still survivors.
Still survivors. Yeah.
That's good to know, I guess. Oh, yeah. This movie was ludicrous, but also kind of interesting. Like, in a way, you know, like, which is, you know, kind of uncanny. I feel like this movie, whenever you hear about it, it's mostly painted in that light, like you were kind of talking about at the beginning, where it's like, oh yeah, dude, it's a trash fest like movie that, you know, Stephen King's embarrassed by, and like, we, you know, there's only laughable elements to it. And I will argue that though there are many laughable elements to it, like and like not in like a negative way almost, but in like just mm-hmm. that entertaining way. There's like an interesting couple of layers to this movie. So, you know,
I do think it's interesting that it was his first and only directorial effort. Because it also like didn't make money at the box office. Like it lost like $2 million.
Yeah.
It also got nominated, for a Golden Raspberry for like worst director, and Emilio Estevez got nominated for worst actor. They didn't win those categories, but yeah, I'm sure to him it was like a blow, you know, like here I am, the master of horror, but I can't even, you know, turn one of my own creations into a good movie. Like, I think that's what it was. I think it was a blow to his ego, so he's just like, you know, disowned it. But yeah, I think that everyone should check it out for themselves. And it is just so much fun. Like, it's obviously you're not going in like, oh man, like this is like expecting like a movie like Hereditary or something like that with this like powerful themes and everything. Like, this movie is exactly what it is. It's just, you know, killer vehicles.
Yeah. But like surprisingly intelligent killer vehicles.
Yeah, there are some things I like we said, some of those like themes. There's also, I've never seen it, but there's a, I think it's like 1996, there's a made for TV movie, and it's called Trucks, which was the name of the short story, and I've never seen that adaptation, but I wonder how awful that one is, because I've heard it's pretty bad. So I might have to check that out soon. Tricks. So that was the name of the short story.
Well, I mean, okay. Give me your rating for Maximum Overdrive.
Well, I absolutely love this movie. So from an entertainment and a nostalgia standpoint, I give it like an 8. But like actually, you know, looking at the movie, you know, subjectively, I would probably give it like a 6.5, but entertainment wise, nostalgia wise, an 8.5. You sure make love like a hero's out of 10.
Ooh, oh boy, man, I wish I could get a 6.5 or an 8.5 rating in that department.
You yeah, make love same. Like
a hero, 6.5. Yeah, okay, hell yeah, I get that.
What about you?
I would say, you know, kind of similar. I you know, like quality of movie wise, I would give it like somewhere around 6, you know,
okay.
The 6, like maybe even almost 7. Like, Just because, but I think that's also me influencing it with entertainment. Like, entertainment wise, this movie was a fucking riot.
Absolutely.
And I would absolutely give it a, like an 8. Yeah, you know, for sure. Yeah, honestly, I'd probably give it a 9. I'm going to give it a 9. I really laughed a lot, like, enjoyed a lot. Like, there's some good blood splatter in this movie, you know,
totally.
In the pockets that you saw. Yeah, I'd give it that, you know, did I 9 out of 10. Did that knife bite you, honey? It's
yeah, what a stupid fucking question to ask.
Yeah, dude. Throw a pot at that dude's head. But yeah, overall, I mean, definitely, like, I feel like, you know, this is a movie worth watching if you're just, like, looking to put something on and, like, have a good time with it. If you're looking to really be spooked, maybe pass it up, but...
Right. There's obviously other things that are, you know.
Yeah, for me, I just go look in the mirror, you know. Oh.
Jesus Christ.
All right. Well, any final horror thoughts or any other, like, random recommendations to watch?
Not that I can think of. I think we already touched on some of them.
Yeah, there's
you know, it's obviously a good time of year to watch horror, but right now is a especially good time of year to watch horror. So go watch horror.
Do it. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. Corn dogs. We'll see you on the next one.
Yes, sir.